This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Whoa! We're streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. But I just gave people motion sickness because I decided to move the camera around like a five-year-old who's never had control over a camera before. That's the kind of day it is today. We got a lot going on. We'll keep our eyes peeled for any NBA news. The Knicks hired Mike Brown earlier, which is fine. He's a solid NBA coach. Same level as the guy that they fired, but sometimes you need a new voice. Maybe he'll get more out of the same exact players, plus like two other dudes, including Jordan Clarkson, who's the Madison Square Garden crowd is going to love and then hate and then love and then hate, and it is going to be funny. Beyond that, we got some WNBA stuff coming up. I'm hoping we're going to be able to catch Sonia Citron. We're on a bit of a scheduling kerfuffle there. We'll see if it can work out with the Mystics team flight. They're on their way to Minneapolis. We're hoping to catch Sony when they land. So that will be in the 6 o'clock hour. We will be talking Mystics for sure in the 6 o'clock hour because Kendra Andrews from ESPN is going to join us because she was a part of the reporting that Aliyah Edwards might be on the trade block. So we'll get Kendra on at 6:30. Other than that, today, the U.S. Women's National Team is across the street facing Canada. So I might hit on that a little bit. And then the other big like local story that we're going to talk about is the fact that the Commanders are now teasing new uniforms, and then there's more RFK stuff. Kevin Sheehan talked to Mayor Bowser. You might have heard some or all of that interview. We're going to play some clips for those of you that haven't, and we will discuss what Mayor Bowser had to say. But as Ben's with us, first of all, Ben, check in with you. Ben in for Anthony, who has now made his way to Barcelona, Paris. Very successful for our guy, Antoine. I have to see if he's now going by Antonio now that he's in Spain. He was Antoine while he was in France. He'll just be Anthony when he gets back here. This is now your third day on the show. How are we feeling about our experience on the Hoffman Show?
Feeling great. Feeling energized today. Getting through the week. I know, obviously, you don't have the show on Friday. I will be here on Friday, but... this week has kind of flown by for me because I've been here all day, every day, pretty much.
Yeah, so you're doing the B. Mitch and Finley Hoffman Show double, a rare double. We've had folks stay on this side of the building for a double before, but I don't know how often we've had the B. Mitch and Finley Hoffman Show.
You're going to love what I'm doing tomorrow.
You're doing a triple header tomorrow. So what do you got tomorrow?
So tomorrow I got the B. Mitch and Finley Show. I'll be taking your calls over there, replacing Jeff Walker for the day. Then I'll be over
you'll
here.
You'll be sitting in Jeff Walker. No one replaces Jeff Walker. That's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just that no one replaces Jeff Walker.
That is true. Nobody can be like Jeff Walker. There is only one of him.
One of a kind.
Then I'll be over here with you, of course. So that'll be a fun time as always. And then after that, have about an hour break. And then I got Mystics production right here in the chair I'm sitting in.
Nice. So at least you get a little break. Maybe we can get you some food from down one of the fine restaurants in this area. Or maybe you'll bring... that's really between you and you. But yeah, you get Mystics tomorrow night in Minnesota, which they're on their way to now. And hopefully they'll have a quick flight, and that means we'll get to talk to Sonia Citron. But sometimes to start the show, Ben, before we get into any like real sports talk talking, it's good to just kind of level set with the audience where we are on a given day. And today's going to be one of those days where I'm just gonna level set with the audience because I did not drive in today. I biked in today, and it was a bit of an adventurous bike ride coming through the district. We'll pick things up. The start of the ride was fairly smooth, Ben, but as I was rolling through like Shaw area, I had a guy who it's like parking, bike lane, sidewalk. And like people need to park, and if they live, especially if they live there, they're unloading stuff out of their cars. That's fine. I just, you know, as someone who bikes frequently, would appreciate if people were a little more cognizant of the fact that you are having to go through a bike lane. And I like see everything that happened to me today. Luckily, I have been biking in the city long enough, and I'm a defensive enough biker, if you will, defensive driving taken to a bicycle, that I was like, all right, I'm my head's always on a swivel. Put it that way, right? So I see this guy, he's not really paying attention, he's getting stuff out of his car, and sure enough, like, takes a water out, turns, starts walking, and I'm like, buddy, didn't even look. And so I'm kind of giving him the, yo, as I approach, and he's able to stop and allow me to slowly go around him. But had I put my head down, or had I not given him the old, yo, I would have just ran his ass over, which would have hurt both of us because I was on a bike.
Have you seen the guy? This is a while back, honestly, but I used to get Instagram reels of this guy that would ride his bike around New York, and anytime a car or somebody blocked the bike lanes, he would yell very explicit things at them, and he became very famous. The comments hated him because he was kind of a jerk in the way he would yell at people, and obviously as a biker, you have the right to be a little bit upset with people blocking the lane that's reserved for you so you don't get killed by a car. But this guy would definitely take it way too far, and it made him a very hateable person.
Yeah, you don't need to be the world's worst person about it, but like I would appreciate it if the non-bikers of DC paid a little bit more attention. So there's one, right? Like two blocks later, I'm crossing an intersection, and there is a girl who's running perpendicular. So she, in order to run across towards me, is going against, like, she's got a little red hand being like, hey, don't walk there. But she sees, like, hey, there's no real cars coming. There's just this guy on a bike. And so she decides to run, and she slows down because she doesn't want to run into me, which I appreciated. But she didn't factor in the fact that if she slowed down, that a car that was way off in the distance would be coming at her. And so I hear honk, honk. No, I'm not about to tell you that a lady got hit by a car. I'll take the suspense out of that story. But like I hear a honk honk and the girl go, ah! As I go by on the bike, and I'm just like, is today idiot day in the district? So that's two.
I feel like anytime you're traveling, like I notice I'll have experiences like this when I'm driving somewhere that's a good distance away where everything will go wrong on that drive. And it's usually everyone else around me can't drive. Or you just run into the weather is terrible, or there'll be a ton of traffic, and you just think to yourself, I'm never going to get to where I'm going
right
now.
It's just Murphy's. Well, I'm at that point. My wife is always nervous about me biking, as you know, you hear people get hit and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm just like, I can't wind up having to call Rachel being like, hey, something bad happened. And so a couple blocks later, I'm still like not even out of Shaw, and I'm looking like, do I cut across traffic? And I'm like, I should know better. And for some reason, I just didn't stop. Like, I didn't just stop and be patient. I was like, oh, I think I can. Nope. There are cars coming. And as I went to stop, I was fine. But it was apparently the way I stopped and stopped my feet. My chain popped off my bike. So that sucked. Had to put that back on. Hands, despite lots of washing, still at stupid greasy. You can't really see it, I guess. A little bit. You got some grease. Camera's doing a good job of hiding it if you're watching on YouTube. And then, so that I pull up on the sidewalk, put the chain back on. So there's three quasi-incidents. Four, as I'm crossing bound by Capital One Arena, I see a dude on a bike who stopped kind of in the middle of the road, puking his brains out. Hope he was all right. Don't know what was going on there. That didn't look like a good situation. Meanwhile, on the other side of the street, there's some dude yelling about something at the bus stop. And I'm just like, please, light turn. Get me out of here. And then I finally get across the mall, get across over onto to this side of town. And there's this one, let's see, what would it be on? I guess it's on 4th. There's like a turn right underneath one of the underpasses. And for some reason, cars always just don't really look. And sure enough, I see this car and I'm like, oh, you're going to make this right turn and cut me off. So I like come to a stop. And then like as the car is basically in my way, he either sees a pedestrian that's about to cross or both stops. And then I'm just like, great. So now you've cut us both off and are in the way. But thanks for not hitting us. Got to go around that. And then from there, I was able to get here safely.
Well, I'm glad you made it here. Seems like it was a struggle, maybe almost a miracle that you're here. But Here we are doing the show.
Fingers crossed for an easy ride home, although somehow this has incited complaints. Kevin's in Virginia. Kevin, Ben, looks like I've got I can't pull people up again today. I'll see if I can fit that out. All right, Kevin, what's your gripe with me, apparently?
No disrespect, but bikers, they break the rules all the time. And I'm not talking about the bike lane. They're in the middle of the road. They run past red lights. They go through stop signs like the law doesn't apply to them. And they never get cited for it. And as a driver in the car, if I somehow hit you when you're running through a red light, it's all on me. And, you know, it's really a problem from a driver's standpoint. And I try to respect bikers. I understand that. I never go in the bike lane. I never block the bike lane. I'm talking about driving down the road. You've got people on bicycles that are running red lights and not looking as if we can't, you know, we're supposed to respect that. And it's a pet peeve of mine. I just had to say that when I heard you talking.
Look, Kevin.
It goes both ways.
No, it does. It does. And I will say, as someone who is a, like, I feel like, not that I am the grand poobah of all things getting around the district, but I am someone who walks quite a bit, drives quite a bit, and bikes quite a bit. I am not a solo of any of those things. And when I see bikers on kamikaze missions while I'm driving, I'm like, why? What are you doing? Like, yes, there are times, if I can clearly see that there is no one coming at a stop sign, or if the car is coming to a stop, it is easier, or it is harder to like stop a bike and get it going again than the time it will take for me to just run through a stop sign. But if you were there first and are ready to go and I'm approaching the stop sign, then I'm going to stop. Like, I think there is more gray areas on bikes that in some ways makes the bike safer if they're more aggressive. But being an idiot and like getting in cars' ways and all the other crazy stuff a lot of the bikers do around the city. And of course, the worst is in the middle of it all, like the Vespa situation, who can't decide, are you a bike? Are you a bike or are you a car? That's we got to get situated. So that's my transportation monologue for the morning. Typically, you know, I save those for like Ben, like once a quarter. Because otherwise we start infringing on Russell's territory. He is, of course, the czar of traffic radio. If you want sports and traffic, you turn it into the Chris Russell Show.
And crime.
Oh, man, some of his crime.
I think today's been a big crime week for him.
Oh.
From what I've seen.
Mm.
And now he got the combination with Malik Beasley. He's got crime and sport. So this is like the best of both worlds the Rooster.
If at some point Malik Beasley was stuck in traffic, that is the ultimate Chris Russell story.
I'm sure it's happened.
The gambling's ruining everything. We should talk about that maybe tomorrow. What a wild story that is. All right. Anyway, that's where I'm at today. Happy to be here. Would like for all of you to behave later this afternoon as I try to return to my house safely. Up next, we'll talk about sports on The Hoffman Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, also on the show today, a couple of filmmakers. Just so happens that they both were available to talk about their projects today. Glenn Kino, who produced an outstanding basketball documentary, is going to join us at 5:30. And then up next, Chris Ayer, new docuseries on the History Channel about Jim Thorpe, co-produced by LeBron James. Very, very cool cool project. Chris Ayer, documentary filmmaker who's an award winner, is going to join us coming up in a few minutes. Tell you what, though. We might bump that to 4:45 because I think we might get some calls on this. This is a great topic. Ben, you get credit for the topic because you did it on Locked On Wizards. And I think this is really fun. Which Washington Wizard is most likely, as we sit here and see Shai Gilgeous-Alexander getting the Supermax and a bunch of other max players around, which Washington Wizard is most likely to be a future Supermax player? I think it's really fun. I've got two guys that come to mind. I think it's worth probably on the front end here saying, how do you qualify for the Supermax, because that also will help shape this. So the Supermax is this very specific thing that the NBA implemented a couple years ago that says to qualify for a Supermax, the player typically needs to have 7 or 8 years of NBA experience on the team that drafted them. So you can't have ever been traded. This is why it was such a big deal when Luka got traded, amongst all the other reasons. But like he lost so much money by being traded because he was no longer eligible for the Supermax. And then this is kind of the big thing. They need to meet certain performance thresholds, such as being named to an All-NBA in the previous season or two of the three preceding seasons. So you make All-NBA, you're in the year you're up for the extension, you're eligible. Or if you made it in two of the preceding 3 years, so say you got hurt and you miss all NBA or your performance dip, but two, you'd already qualified because the 2 years prior you made it, then you're good. Or you can be named Defensive Player of the Year, or being named in the previous season or two of the preceding three, or being named MVP in any of the preceding three seasons. So you need to be an MVP, time right, an all-NBA team, or Defensive Player of the Year. So if those are the criteria, Ben, who do you think is the most likely Washington Wizard to be super max eligible?
To start things off, I think in DC specifically here, there's a lot of personal opinions about the Supermax contract that have been swayed because of what has happened with people who got Supermax contracts here in our nation's capital. Wall and Beal, of course, terrible endings. Have to put those feelings to the side because this team needs a superstar player. If you have somebody that's all NBA worthy or MVP worthy, God forbid, on this Wizards team, you have to be thrilled about that. So put just get that out of the way. For me, the former number two overall pick, Alex Saar, is who I'd go with. One, because of the size and what he's able to do at his size. He's a guy that has good speed, quick with the basketball, and has stretched his game to play outside the perimeter well. Now, he was inefficient offensively in his rookie year, especially around the rim. I think if you're over 7 foot, to shoot under 40% from the field is a little bit concerning. With that being said, I do think he improves a lot like he did in the second half of the season. And because he plays so well on the defensive side of the basketball, protecting the rim, he's a guy that if he polishes his offensive game and also gets a little bit better as a rebounder, I think that's somewhere he has to improve as well. I could see him being a top of the line stretch four in the NBA and being an all NBA type of player.
I think Saar is interesting on two fronts. The absolute best version of Alex Saar takes on all of like the freaky athleticism and length that he's got and turns himself into a Defensive Player of the Year candidate. And if so, he were, let's say it's, because remember, the reason, so there is actually another version of the Supermax that's for younger players. Like I said, you have to be in year 7 or 8. There, if you hit some of these other thresholds earlier, it's just not as big a percentage of the cap. So that's ultimately what we're talking about here. Like the big Supermax is 35% of the cap in the given year that you sign it, with max raises year over year moving forward, which I believe are 8%. So yeah, it gets real nerdy real fast, but that's what we're talking about here, right? But let's say in the year that he's extension eligible, the Wizards are really good. So we're like 4 years down the line. He's awesome. They're awesome defensively. He's the anchor of a Oklahoma City-esque type of run defensively. And he's, maybe he doesn't ever polish offensively enough to make a third team even all NBA, but he's the Defensive Player of the Year. Is that totally off the table? No. Do I also find it hard to believe that if you're Defensive Player of the Year, you wouldn't somehow squeak onto an all-NBA team? That feels like a weird needle to thread, but I guess it's possible.
I have a question, and he might have been on an all-NBA team, but this is maybe the only player I can think of in my head that might actually fit that threshold. Was Joakim Noah an all-NBA player the year he won Defensive Player of the Year? I guess we have to look that up.
I can look that up real quick.
But he was so bad offensively, I feel like it might be possible that he wasn't. Like, I could be completely wrong.
I feel like he probably would have been
at least a third team, right?
Yeah, I think, let's see, Defensive Player of the Year.
In 2014.
Yeah, he was NBA, all-NBA first team that year.
He was first team.
Yeah, and he finished fourth in MVP voting that year.
Wow.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. Finished fourth in MVP voting, averaging 12 points and 11 rebounds. But he had 5 assists, over a steal, block and a half. They were awesome. Yeah, he played 80 games.
It's kind of overshadowed that Nene actually cooked in that series for the most part. And even though he was suspended for a game, I think he really held his own against Noah and scored the ball really effectively in that series. But it's irrelevant. That happened 10 years ago. It doesn't matter anymore.
Long time ago. So, but if he's in contention for DPOY, like, is he probably a third team guy, if not better? Yeah, that's possible. That's not my answer, though. I think Trey Johnson has a chance to be a stud, dude. Like, I just, something about that kid, the way he's wired, the way he shoots it, the way he works, the way he's open to feedback, how coachable he is. If the stuff that needs to get better for him can get better, I think he's the answer. And so, like, is Bilal going to develop into a really good player? I think so. I think he showed last year a huge step from year one to year two. And I'm excited to see what the year one to year two step is for Bub this year. For, I mean, Will Dawkins, the way his eyes lit up in the postseason press conference when talking about Keyshawn George, when he's like, man, wait till you guys see what Keyshawn's already done, right, in a couple of months. And maybe it was, I guess it was a pre-draft. I don't remember when it was. Maybe it was when he was on with the Junkies pre-draft. But he, sometime recently, where there had been a little bit of time since the end of the season, he's like, man, wait till you guys would see what Keyshawn George has already done this offseason. So I'm excited to see what those guys can be. But none of them, because of the shooting prowess and the scoring ability, have the potential offensively as Trey Johnson. And for that reason, I think my answer is Trey, a guy who last year at 18 years old led the SEC, one of the best conferences in terms of depth and quality we've seen in recent, like this new version of college basketball. He led the league in scoring. I think I'd probably bet on that guy. That's my answer.
I think it's a good pick as well. And with the way college basketball stacks up, and I think you just made that point. You hit it on the head right there. That's an 18-year-old kid that's essentially dominating, scoring the basketball against dudes who are 23. So it leaves me no doubt that he's going to be able to score effectively here at the next level, because it's genuinely hard to be a really good college basketball player at 18, 19 years old now.
Especially when your own point guard and you like seem to not get along on the court, you can't get the ball.
Yeah, he was carrying the team for the most part, which is the craziest thing. And I know there was some concerns about him defensively taking off plays, but maybe because he had to carry the team so damn much offensively that it's tough to be able to go a full 40 minutes on both sides of the ball at that point. I think he's not going to have that issue in the NBA.
301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 is the phone number. Which Washington Wizard do you think is most likely to eventually be Supermax eligible, or is the only chance someone who's not on the team yet? 301-230-0980. It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app. Now also live on iHeartRadio and TuneIn.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card, buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply.
Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
.301-230-0980 is the phone number. You can also hit us in the YouTube chat at the Team 980. Got some comments in there on our topic du jour. Wizards-wise, at least, we'll get to some Commanders name news, uniform news, as well as stadium news coming up at 5 o'clock today. Chris Ayer, award-winning documentary maker, going to join us at 4:45. But also, I just want to let folks know, I said this at the end of the last segment, easier to find now. Not only are we on the free Odyssey app, not only are we on YouTube, not only on the radio, on AM today. I think we're back on AM yesterday or 2 days ago, whenever that was. Whoopsie daisies. The whole got knocked out by an electrical storm. I mean, in a way, it's kind of a cool story. It's like, yeah, lightning hit our radio tower. In a way, it's not a cool story because you guys couldn't listen to us. But if you ever, for some reason, can't get us on the radio, all the places. And now, even more, iHeartRadio, TuneIn. Our podcast and anywhere you can get your podcast, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. So really, frankly, Ben, what I'm telling people is there's no excuse not to listen to every second of this radio show. Like, what better could you possibly have to do? Or do things that you got to do, but also listen to us. Ignore your children. Just kidding. Don't ignore your kids. Definitely don't ignore your kids. See, Ben, you're supposed to laugh. I don't know if Anthony told you. Part of the job of producing it is laughing at the jokes.
Oh, maybe I thought there maybe be like a laugh sounder on here in your hotkey bed.
No,
I guess I
no.
Actually
Anthony
laugh.
Actually laughs at my jokes. He is the hotkey sounder. So we'll have to.
Oh wait, I just laughed.
There you go. See, I just had to make a better joke. All right, 301-230-0980. Which Washington Wizard is most likely to be a future Supermax player? And again, you got to be MVP kind of in the discussion. If you win it, you're eligible. If you are first, second, or third team All-NBA, or you win Defensive Player of the Year, certain, you know, whether you win it in the year you're extension eligible or two of the 3 years prior, then you get the Supermax. I will also say this with all due respect to all of the players. Unless you're going to be like LeBron James or Stephen Curry and you're so good it doesn't matter, it almost doesn't matter who else is on your team, then you kind of hope if you're a fan and you're just interested in winning that nobody is the answer. Look, you want them to miss it just by that much. Like, what you'd really want is a player, like, you want Trey Johnson in 2 years before he's eligible to be, like, first-team All-NBA or second-team All-NBA, and he's awesome. And then the next year, for whatever reason, like, he doesn't actually get that much worse, but, like, someone else has an incredible season. And, like, he misses it. And so he misses it by that much. So you have an awesome player, like, who's that good without having to pay them the Supermax because then you're in a better cap situation. And, like, this mm-hmm. is the stupidity of the Supermax contract. It hurts teams.
It's awful.
You're negotiating against yourself. I'm all for the players getting the money. I do not begrudge them. But, like, if you get it, it makes team building harder. Just count the extra cash that the players get, not against the cap. Make it automatic. There's no negotiation. If your team, your incumbent team, signs you to a max contract and you've qualified for Supermax, you get the Supermax. And if the NBA player or if the NBA owners want to pool like an extra bit of money together where it's not all on one incumbent owner, like they can figure out how to separate their money. But if you are lucky enough to have a player that good, you should not be punished by having to feel like you have to pay them more, even though you're negotiating against nobody, or you have to insult them and be like, sorry, we're not giving you that. But like that's the situation that teams get put in. It is one of the sillier CBA rules, I think, in all of sports.
When Beal was in the midst of his career best season where he led the NBA in scoring, all of the comments, all of the hubbub about Bradley Beal, the NBA better give him the respects he deserves. Wizards fans were begging the NBA to include him in the All-NBA third team list or whatever list they put him on at that point. And I was the only one back and saying, no, do you guys not understand what you are doing? You are going to push this narrative, and he's going to get on the All-NBA third team, and this franchise will be set back forever because of this decision. I knew from the start that Beal was not a player that deserved the contract he did, yet alone a no-trade clause. Let's never do that again, please. Well, no more trade clauses, ever.
There's a reason that nobody has no-trade clauses, and that was clearly a mistake by the front office at the time.
There is one outlier on the no-trade clause list. There is one outlier in that list.
Yeah, even Steph doesn't have one.
Exactly.
Like, LeBron has one, that's basically it. And it's, I don't know. I wish there were more no trade clauses. I think the fact that dudes can just be up and be like, hey, by the way, you're moving to Portland tomorrow. Like, that's crazy. These are people with families who sign contracts. But like, from a team building standpoint, if I'm on the front office side, I'm literally never giving one. Like, sorry, no. And especially on a Supermax, because it's like, what are you going to do? Not sign it? Like, it's very, very silly. And the front office at the time made an enormous mistake, obviously, with that, which is why they're no longer here and they hire new people.
Yeah.
So with that said, in a way, this is a very silly discussion because in a way, you hope you don't. But also, like, what you really hope is that, like, you have a perennial first team All-NBA. Like, the Oklahoma City Thunder have no problem with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander getting the Supermax because he's scored 30 a game. I don't think people realize this unless you're listening to the show over the last month. Then I've told you. How many, Ben, pop quiz. How many straight years has Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scored 30 points a game?
One.
Try three.
It's 3 years in a row.
He scored 30 a game 3 years in a row. I think we've actually, like, he won the MVP this year, so it's hard to be like, that guy's underrated. I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, despite the fact that he just won MVP, Finals MVP, and is an NBA champion, I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is actually underrated.
I had no idea it was 30 for the past three. I knew he was upper 20s at least.
Yeah, I didn't either until I looked it up a couple of weeks ago. He has averaged 30 a game in three straight seasons. That is insane territory.
Yeah, he had one of the more impressive scoring seasons in recent memory. Before leading into the NBA Finals, he had scored more points than anybody in a single season since 1993 with Michael Jordan. So that tells you what kind of company he's surrounded by now.
Yeah, when you talk about like average and then not missing games, the total accumulation plus playoffs, like, yeah, he's one of the most consistent, reliable, prolific players. He's actually, despite the fact that he doesn't shoot a ton of threes, like, he's actually super efficient as well because of how well he drives it. And obviously, I think unlike Brunson, where he's like hunting for fouls, like, Shai gets fouled.
Can I offer you a question here? That's actually, I've been thinking about this for a while.
Sure.
From a Wizard fan standpoint or just the Wizards organization here.
Fire away.
We're having this conversation about Supermax players and how you almost kind of hope that they slightly miss the threshold so you can avoid this kind of situation, but also at the same time, you hope that you have an all-NBA caliber player here in D.C. at some point, sooner rather than later. For next year, if somehow all of these guys, not saying this is likely at all, but if all these guys take a huge jump in year number two and then year number three of Bilal, if they get to the point where they're almost playing just below 500-level basketball, as a fan, would you be concerned that you're just kind of reaching a point where you're going to be mediocre and then you're losing your draft pick? Or are you stoked for the development?
I think you're stoked for the development. My guess would be that the organization would continue to find ways to play like the guys even farther down, right? Like the Kobe Joneses, right? Mm-hmm. Like they would take those players, like develop AJ Johnson more by giving him more minutes. And like you have even a next wave of young guys that you think are going to be role players for you in the future. And you just, they're playing more minutes. You're kind of, and by the way, like, does it sound kind of cheap in a way? Does it sound a little skeezy, a little tankish? Yeah, of course. But if you look at all the injuries that are happening, to Tyrese Halliburton and Dame Lillard and, you know, Jason Tatum. Like, Jason Tatum is not old, but like, think how many minutes Jason Tatum accumulated as playing competitive basketball because his teams were good pretty instantly. They had Kyrie, like all that kind of stuff. Think of how many heavy minutes those guys played when they were young.
I feel that's what makes what LeBron has done his entire career. It's because stupid. He has played, I don't know, you'd have to do the math in terms of games played, but he's almost played an extra couple seasons of just playoff games.
Oh, he has played a couple extra seasons.
It's like 3 or 4 years, isn't it, at least?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt. So you think about, like, he's played probably 20 playoff games, and I mean, in that run where he went to 8 straight finals, that's probably like an extra 20 games a year. That's like 2 extra seasons. And so if you want to make the argument, like, we're load you're load managing a 20-year-old? Yeah, I don't want him to snap his Achilles when he's 26. And so if you want to make that argument, I think for this year, because of the pick protection, like, I believe Will Dawkins when he says, hey, if our guys are so good that our pick goes to the Knicks, like, we'll deal with that. But I think if you're kind of on the line, then you'll probably just be like, we're going to make sure that our guys are playing, our good players are playing 25 minutes a night. We'll throw out some lineups that have a couple extra young guys in it. Maybe we take the Chris Middletons and the Marcus Smarts and the CJ McCollums out even more. Maybe we flip those guys when we would have otherwise held on. Like, they'll find ways, I think, I would guess, to make sure that they keep that pick.
I don't think they'll have this problem either.
And I also think that we are a year away from having this problem. And at that point, hopefully, you have AJ DeBonsa and you've gotten the number one pick in next year's draft. Whether you win the lottery from 7 or win the lottery from 1, I don't really care about that. Just get lucky, win the lottery.
you know that's a big ask.
Of course. But that's kind of where I see it, is like, they'll find a way to keep the pick. And then you hope that that's a problem that you're dealing with 2 years from now. But it is, I do think we're 2 years away from, because then we're also talking about like Bilal extension. Like, you're starting to talk about some stuff where it's like, dang, if they could have gotten lucky sooner, could they have done some things differently? Or do they have to wind up flipping one of these guys in the future and extending the timeline a little farther because your best player is 19 years old and Bilal's in year 4? Like, those are the complicated questions this front office is going to have to eventually wrestle with. But you hope that they're really, really good, and there's kind of no, either you keep the players because they're awesome, or you get incredible return because they're awesome. So good discussion there. Fun chat. If you want more on Ben's thoughts on that, check out the Locked On Wizards show. It's on YouTube and podcasts and all the places that you do that. Coming up at 5 o'clock, we will get to the Commanders uniform talk. They're going to launch alternate uniforms a week from now, and there was a big hint dropped in terms of what they will look like as well in the announcement. When we get back, though, Chris Ayer is an award-winning documentary filmmaker. His new film on Jim Thorpe is coming out on the History Channel a couple days from now, and we're going to discuss that film with him and why it was so important to have LeBron James as a part of it next on The Hoffman Show. Double day of baseball off to a bad start for your Washington Nationals after yesterday's postponement. The Nats got slapped by the Tigers 11-2 on the first part of a day-night doubleheader. Nighttime, 6:45, first pitch tonight for the Tigers and Nationals. Both U.S. soccer teams playing tonight. The ladies here in D.C. USA Canada on TNT. It's live from Audi Field. The All-State Continental Classico, as it has been dubbed. Meanwhile, Gold Cup semifinal, USA, Guatemala. USA, ton of adversity coming into this tournament, has somehow made a run to the semis. Some of the performances have been fine. Some have been kind of, how in the world did they win that? But they win today, and they are on to the final. It's 7 o'clock kickoff on Fox Sports 1. That is what's trending. I'm Craig Hoffman on the Team 980. All right, coming up at 5 o'clock, we will do more on the Commanders' new alternate uniforms that we are expecting to see. And you'll hear from Mayor Bowser on the Kevin Sheehan Show about RFK Stadium. But earlier today, I was able to catch up with a very cool documentary filmmaker who's got a new project coming out. And here's my chat with Chris Ayer. Award-winning director Chris Ayer with us. The new documentary, Jim Thorpe, Lit by Lightning, debuts July 7th on History Channel. It is co-produced, Chris, by LeBron James. And that's actually where I want to start, because Jim Thorpe is widely considered the greatest athlete ever. And then I'm sure some folks hear that and they're like, come on, the evolution of the athlete. And we see like LeBron is 6'8", 200 and whatever pounds, and he's still doing what he's doing at the age of 40. That guy's the greatest athlete that we've ever seen. So what's it mean to have LeBron James work and co-sign, green light this project where you are telling the story of Jim Thorpe?
LeBron James is you know, one of the greatest endorsers that we could ever have for Jim Thorpe Lit by Lightning, because LeBron James, one of the GOATs himself, is endorsing somebody that I love that happens to be a Native American. When you talk about, you know, different times and places for athletics and sports and people, I think the diversity of what they do in athletics is important. So when you talk about Jim Thorpe, you recognize that not only did he excel in one sport, he excelled in multiple sports, and the Olympics. So with the Olympics, you have the decathlon, which is 15 events, and the pentathlon, and he wins gold medals in each of those categories, the decathlon and the pentathlon, in the same Olympics. So you look at it from that standpoint, and you start to say, okay, wait a minute, this is kind of remarkable. And then you look at all the other facts of his story and the different sports, you know, from basketball to professional baseball to professional football and multiple championships, his Olympic gold medals. I'm told he was a great championship ballroom dancer. And then he goes on and he's in 100 movies, including King Kong in the 30s. And he just had an epic life of the diversity of sports. And he excelled at all of it, and he was a champion. And the amalgamation of that and his record that stand and stood for so long make him the greatest athlete ever.
As a filmmaker and as a director, how do you tell a story that's 100 years old? There's not many, if any, folks around that saw Jim Thorpe do any of these things. Certainly, I guess there's some folks who may have seen some of the movies because those are timeless. But as an athlete, there just aren't people you can go interview. There is not film. So how do you tell this story that's 100 years old?
Well, that's a great question. That's the job. I mean, that is the job besides entertaining, is to storytell. And part of that is intellectual and research and great, you know, people behind me that, you know, that are able to bring the facts up and put them in front of us and write about them. But the other thing, and this is the secret sauce of it, the ingredient, is I have a tendency to watch old, you know, film and see people perform, but not only see them perform, but see them interview and really try to understand what's behind the person. And when I look at Jim Thorpe and I understand where he came from, which is humble beginnings in Oklahoma, he had lost early in his life, which was a twin brother at 9. He lost both of his parents by 11. He was carted off to boarding school at Haskell, and he ran away from boarding school multiple times, over 20 miles home. And they finally took him so far away to a boarding school in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, that he couldn't run away. And at that avenue, he somehow found sports. And I think if he wouldn't have had that avenue, it might have been a different story for Jim Thorpe. But what I see in that is that before million-dollar endorsement deals and before million-dollar fees for players, before the likes of social media, before the accolades of the internet, he was involved in these sports for a different reason. And I think that was because of the passion of where he'd come from, the anger, which he must have felt in a biased time, in a racist time, going to boarding schools, being disenfranchised, not only from his family, but his tribe and his whole community. And so he put it into something. And I think in later years, you can see these interviews with him, and he is still a humble servant of sports. And when I look at these interviews and these tapes and I watch somebody as a storyteller, that's what I'm able to grasp, is who this person might have been. And then it's substantiated with the facts and the stories that we find, you know, in the archives and through historians.
Chris Ayer, award-winning director, with us on The Hoffman Show. Lit by Lightning is the new documentary on History Channel, July 7th. You talked about another interview I watched that you did about this, the letter that he got from President Taft after his Olympic triumphs. And it's like, hey, way to represent America. You're amazing. You're the greatest athlete in the world. Obviously, he was called that directly by the King of Sweden, as is a famous story. But as you noted in this other interview, he's actually not an American citizen because he's a Native American. And at the time, that's what that meant. So what did Thorpe mean for, I was asked this broadly, what did Thorpe and his athletic success mean for civil rights in this country?
That's a good question. What it meant for civil rights was not anything, I think, that was regarded at the time. I think what it means for civil rights is something that we can reflect on now and say, wait a minute, the irony of the fact that he wasn't even a U.S. citizen, but celebrated as an American Olympian. He achieved gold medals in 1912, and Native Americans weren't regarded as U.S. citizens until 1924. There's a great irony in the fact that Taft wrote him this letter as a great American when he wasn't considered a U.S. citizen yet. And so I think that with regard to the civil rights of that, it went by people at the time. But I think what we learned from history is that it's about the perseverance of doing things for the right reasons. And the right reason for him was to compete and to be pure about his intention, which is he wanted to win and he wanted to play. And he survived so many great things in his life and overcame so many things. His inspiration is just putting one foot in front of the other, in which we all do, no matter where we're from in this country, how we got here, what we're doing. It's about what you do with what you have. And I think that Jim Thorpe embodies that humility in a way that he catapults me to a different time, and a time that I have real reverence for and respect for what he did. Without the money, without the accolades, he did it for the purity of excelling. And I think that's the inspiration here, which is you look at a life like that and you say, okay, that's a role model for what I need to do at times in my life.
Thorpe, the Olympian, Thorpe, the baseball player, there's so many different versions of him, but he is also one of the most consequential figures in NFL history. Chris, can you explain to an audience that like we'd spent more time on the NFL on this show than any other topic? So, how significant, how would you try to describe the significance, the importance, the criticalness of Jim Thorpe to the NFL?
I think the criticalness of Jim Thorpe to the NFL is that it was the American Football League. He was the president, the very first president of the American Football League, that was designed so there could be a league in football. His Canton Bulldogs won 9 American Football League titles, and that later became the NFL. So he was the first president of what would become the NFL. And the reason was because he was a worldwide household name. By the 1920s, his name had amassed to such a point that owners recognized that if they put Jim Thorpe as the president, the very first president of the American Football League, it would get the kind of press that it needed in order to generate a league that would be longstanding. And that became the NFL. So his significance was he was a touchstone of notoriety and fame that was the very first touchstone of what the NFL became. So he was the most important factor in the recognition of the NFL and the American Football League becoming what it is today.
Chris Ayer, director of the new film, Jim Thorpe, Lit by Lightning, debuting July 7th on History Channel. Chris, best of luck with everything leading up to the launch. Thanks for making this film and can't wait to watch it.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it and I hope people enjoy it.
It's our pleasure. All right, that's Chris Ayer with us here on The Hoffman Show. When we get back, top story of the day, the Commanders. Are they giving folks what they want with these new alternate uniforms? Big hint dropped. We'll talk about it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.